Amen. Can we give that to Jesus one more time? We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Jesus. I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. Beautiful presence of the Lord. And I'm just thankful to be in church tonight. We're going to be turning to Romans chapter number 7. And while you're turning there, I just want to say how thankful I am to be a part of this church. For our pastor and his wife, I give them honor. And I'm thankful we have a man of God that is sensitive to the Holy Ghost. And some of you may understand it, some of you may not, but the fact that he is willing to look you in the face and tell you things that may be hard for him to say, but he'll do it with love and kindness. I am the type of person, if you're upset at me or there's something wrong, just tell me, because I want to fix it. Maybe some of you aren't that way. Maybe you want people to beat around the bush, but I just want somebody to say, "Hey, man, you're doing things wrong, or you need to fix this area." And thankfully, Pastor is that kind of person, and he's not mean about it, but he's going to tell you, "Hey, there's some things we need to ship shape up," and not that I've had to worry about that so much, but I know that if there ever is a point that I need to deal with, he's going to do that for me and my family. And that means a whole lot. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for my wife, she being here tonight, my children, and I'm just thankful for all of you. I love you so much. I love you so much. I pray God will help me tonight, help somebody. I feel that God wants to do something special. And Pastor already kind of started hitting on some of the things I felt to teach on tonight. I'm going to take it a little bit slower than normal. I'm going to teach tonight. And so hopefully you're ready for that. It's going to be a little bit slower than I normally go, but I feel this in the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter number 7, and we're starting with verse number 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And what a question he says. He states something, Paul here. He talks about how wretched he is. Then he states a question. And thankfully, he doesn't just leave us hanging. He doesn't just, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this? And then it's just there. And we go on, and he moves. But he goes on in 25, verse 25, and he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And tonight, for the next few minutes, I just want to teach on having the mind of Christ. Having the mind of Christ. Amen. You may be seated tonight. What a beautiful service we've already had. Thank you. I know a lot of them are gone, but thank you, musicians, singers. And thank you, everybody else, for being involved. Pastor already started it out. I'm going to get there eventually, but he talked about a new creature in Christ. And this is part of what I want to teach on tonight. A few weeks ago, on a Tuesday night, I taught on the Bible study while my father was away. And I talked about the spiritual man, the spirit versus the flesh part, and I talked about the carnal nature of who we are and dealing with that carnal man, that flesh that we have to deal with. And I did tell them that night that I really, if the Lord would allow, at some point wanted to talk about the spiritual aspect of it. All right, we deal with the carnal nature. We have to deal with that. How do we deal with that? There's things that we have to deal with as a person. And that fleshly, carnal nature of those desires that we have before we come to God, and how do we put them into subjection to the Spirit? And tonight, with the help of God, I'm going to do that. And I know I'm not going to get through all of the lesson that I would normally teach, because this is about 3 or 4 weeks long. So I'm going to get as far as the Lord wants me. But I pray tonight I help somebody, because I feel like there's some people here tonight that you've been dealing with some things in your walk with God, and you feel like that you're not really where you want to be or you ought to be. And we're going to pray that God helps us get there. Because I think, too, sometimes the devil likes to tell you that you're not where you need to be, and you probably are. And so we're gonna go slow tonight. Paul, in this Romans chapter 7, he's stating a fact of who he was, and really all of us, before we come to God. Then he asks a question, and then he answers that question. And the answer, thankfully, to the cry of that carnal man, that person of him that was dealing with all of these failures, if I can say it that way, the one that had fallen under the condemnation of the law and the conviction of the Spirit, all of that together comes back to simply one thing: Jesus Christ. If we just took that whole of what we're going to talk about tonight, we really could just state those two words, and that would be over. Truthfully. Because it's really that simple in a way. We deal with the condemnation of what we have done, and the backdrop of that, and looking at our past and saying, oh my God, I can't believe I did all these things. And the devil, he likes to hold that over our head. And that's why Paul would look back and say, man, I stoned Stephen to death. I'm a murderer. And you could say, arguably, well, he didn't throw the stone. Yeah, but he consented unto the death. He was an accomplice to the crime. In Paul's mind, and in anybody else that has a mind really that's right, he was part of that murder that took place. So he's dealing with the condemnation of that. He's dealing with the condemnation of any other person that he had persecuted in the church. Because it wasn't just Stephen that he was persecuting. We just know that account because that's in the Word of God. And so here's Paul is kind of looking back at what he had done. And he's saying, oh, wretched man that I am. I've done so many things that really condemn me. Who's going to deliver me from that? Oh, thank God for the person of Jesus Christ. Because it's through Jesus Christ, the blood of the cross, the resurrection power that he had to bring that body back to life, all of those things, that was the saving grace. And tonight, through all of this, that's what's going to be your saving grace. When you look back and you say, well, man, I failed. I did this. I did that. Anybody here a murderer? And I know we kind of could chuckle at that. But I know pretty much that there's nobody here that I know of that's a murderer. Why I'm saying that is if Paul could find forgiveness and become one of the greatest missionaries, I don't see anybody here that God can't forgive you. I don't care what you've done. We know of people right now that are in prison that God has forgiven and filled with the Holy Ghost, that were murderers. Thank God for the Word of God and the mercy we just sang about, the mercy of God. We underestimate that mercy. We underestimate it so much. That God, yes, is their sin, and yes, does their judgment need to take place? Oh, yeah. And there's two ways that judgment's going to take place. We're either going to have judgment at an altar and taken to a baptismal tank, or there's judgment that we haven't taken care of here that it's going to get taken over there. And I don't want that judgment. And so Paul would say simply, Jesus Christ. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we can connect that all the way over to Romans chapter number 8 in verse number 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. He's not saying that physically you're dead, but your body, as far as the fleshly works are concerned, when you come to an altar and you repent, those fleshly works have to die. And that's what we want to focus on tonight, is the fact that we can't have it two ways. We can't live with the desires of the flesh, fulfilling those things and still living after the Spirit and doing those things. All too often we want to have, if you would, the best of both worlds. Well, I still want to do what I was doing before I came to God. And yet I still want to have the benefits that God gives me whenever I allow all that to happen. And God said, you can't have it both ways. Your fleshly nature has to die out if you want to have the mind of Christ. Well, I know it might be, I knew it was going to be tight tonight because I know the nature of the message. But I also know whenever you leave tonight, I pray you have something and you say, man, I've got victory. I've got victory because I know that I'm going to be conformed to Jesus Christ. I'm not going to be conformed to the world. Hallelujah. Romans chapter number 8. It's what we would call the Holy Ghost chapter. Now, some of you may not realize that, but it really is. It's the what we would call the Holy Ghost chapter. And the beautiful thing about the Romans chapter 8 is it goes through and talks about a lot of things that help us overcome our past life, right? The interesting thing about Romans is this. The Holy Ghost is only directly mentioned one other time in Romans prior to chapter 8. And it's in chapter number 5. Chapter number 5 of Romans. And in that chapter number 5, he says, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. But in Romans chapter number 8, he starts that chapter after asking that question. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he goes on in chapter number 8, starting with verse number 1, and a lot of you could start to quote it already, but there is therefore now. I love that. Now. It's not later. It's not somewhere in the future. It's not somewhere in the past, but right now. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So again, that's why I'm saying, you can't have it both ways. God spoke to Paul to write this to us, to let us know, you can't walk after the flesh. All the things that you had done before, they've got to stay back there. They've got to die. They've got to be put at the altar and crucified. And now you walk forward in a new life. And you say, you know what? All right, God, I'm following you. I've changed my ways. I've changed who I am, my nature. All of those things are different. And I'm following you. And I don't have to have condemnation telling my life from here on out. Oh, my God. And this is, I'm going to cover it again, Brother Dale. That night I talked about the difference between conviction and condemnation. And not everybody was here in that Bible study to hear it. And so tonight I'm going to cover that just for a second, because I feel like somebody needs to hear that in this place tonight. Because you've been walking around with condemnation hanging over your head, and the devil just Here it is, here it is, here it is. And you're walking like you're bowed down. And what you need to realize is if you came to an altar and you repented and you laid it down and you turned from the ways that you were living and you are now submitted to God in your walk with God, the devil has nothing he can hold over you anymore. Now, if you're not living right, then there might be some things you need to take care of. But you still don't have to live under condemnation. And this is the key part, because what it is condemnation is the work of the devil. You say, well, Brother Smith, that's some serious talk. And I'm going to explain why. Because condemnation just comes and says, oh my God, look what you did. I can't believe you messed up. There's no way you're ever going to find any hope. There's nothing you can do to make it right. And the devil just wants you to feel like you've messed up so bad that you can never overcome that. That's condemnation. Conviction is when God begins to bring to you something and says, oh, it's smiting of the heart. All right? You go back to Acts chapter 2. The Bible says they were pricked. That word pricked in the English is actually convicted. Okay? It's when people come and they are coming out of the world and they come to church and the preached word of God goes forth. And they begin to be convicted of the lifestyle that they were living, the things that they were doing. And there's times that, I grew up in church, but there's times I've come to church and the preacher has preached and there were some things in me that the preacher was preaching at. And it convicted me. It pricked my heart. Because the preacher, through the word of God, was letting me know, hey, there's some things in you, Jacob, that you need to fix. And that right there is the difference. Condemnation will never allow you to have a fix. It will tell you that you're wrong, but it won't tell you how to get right. Conviction will tell you that you're wrong, but this is how you get right. And I'm telling you, if you're feeling down and out and like you can't do anything right, you might want to check and see if it's the devil or God. Because what I'm telling you is if it's the devil, you're going to know, because you're not going to feel like you can ever get right. You're going to feel like there's no way that I can ever live above where I'm at right now. If it's conviction, it's God saying, hey, I want you to fix this. This area of your life needs a fix. It needs to do better. This area of your life needs to do this. And you know how he's going to talk to you? Right here. Right here. He's going to talk to you through the word of God. And many times, it's going to be, oh, it's so interesting. If you'll start reading the word of God, it'll be interesting how when you're reading, you'll come to church and the preacher will preach what you're reading. Like, oh my goodness, the other day I was just reading about that. Wow, he's... And what will happen is, because you're seeking it out in the word of God, God said, you know what, I'm going to reveal it to you. And I'm going to confirm my word through the man of God. I'm going to use the word of God, and I'm going to confirm it through your man of God, your pastor, your ministry. And I'm going to bring it to you so that you understand it, and it's revelation to you, and you get it. I'm telling you, yes, I know that I'm a part of the ministerial team here. But I'm telling you, there's so many times I'll read in the word of God. And yes, I may know the answer. I'll come to church, and God, through his word and the man of God, will confirm those things. Yeah, it even happens for me. Because God wants his people to know how to do right. He doesn't want it to just be some dark thing where he's hidden it somewhere. Oh my. living right. This is part of having the mind of Christ. And I feel like somebody needed to hear that about condemnation. Don't live under condemnation any longer. If that's the only thing that somebody gets out of this message tonight, I feel like that was for somebody here. You may be dealing with that and walking around under a cloud feeling like you can't live any better than you are right now. And I'm telling you, that's not how God wants you to live. I feel the Holy Ghost in that. That is not how God wants you to live. He wants you to live a life of joy, peace, and victorious. You are not living a victorious life when you are living under condemnation. The Bible said that we need to live from victory to victory, from faith to faith. He didn't say from condemnation to condemnation, from one down and out thing to another down and out place. And so I don't know who I'm talking to. I might be talking to a few people here tonight. I feel something in the Holy Ghost, and I feel something breaking for you tonight where revelation is hitting and saying, you know what, devil? I'm not living under that any longer because I don't have to. That's under the blood. I said that's under the blood. So having the mind of Christ, living in a way that it's changed. When you repent, repentance is not just an action, it's a mindset. I said it's not just an action, it's a mindset. You have to, you ever heard the preacher say you got to have a made up mind? There's a reason why he said that. Because if you don't have a made up mind that you're going to live for God, you're probably not going to do it. It's that mindset. It's about, hey, I know I've been living this way for a while. And I know it's going to be a battle to turn this ship. But guess what? It's going to be a lot better living that way than the way I was. Well, I know we're not swinging from the chandeliers tonight, but I pray I'm helping somebody. So he goes on in verse number 2 of Romans chapter 8, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. I want you to catch that word there. If you're free from something, what does that mean? There's nothing hanging over you anymore. You're not bound by it. You're not locked up by it anymore. Even if the devil says you are. I'm telling you, he's the master of deceit. The Bible tells us that there is no truth in him. So if you hear from the devil, the one thing you can be assured of is it's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. The one thing I got to ask you tonight, though, is why is it that you believe the devil a lot quicker than you believe God? You say, preacher, how can you say that? Because I know. Because there's times where you're not going to make it. We instantly believe that. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You're not going to make it. But we believe it. And yet somebody else from the pulpit will come and say, you're going to be blessed. And it's a word from God. Well, I don't know. Well, preach that. Preach it. Mm-hmm. Come on. It's so true. I know I'm a little off right now where I want to go, but I'm hitting something. I'm hitting something. You believe the devil so much quicker than you believe the word of God. And yet everything the devil says is a lie. Woo. You're not going to make it. Oh, yes, I am. Just watch me. But he wants you to believe his lie because he doesn't want you to make it. And that's why he fights you so hard. You know what I like to tell when I was pastoring, and I would tell them this. If the devil is fighting you, it's his way of saying that he believes in you and what God has in store for you. That's why he fights you so hard. Because he realizes really what potential you have, and he believes that if you reach that potential, it's going to wreak havoc on him. And he doesn't want you to reach your potential. Hallelujah. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So whenever you come, you repent, you have that mind change. Yes, there was the action of that. But part of that action was changing of the mindset. And then you go down in the waters of baptism. And God washes all those sins away. You have become made free from that law of sin. It's no longer holding you any longer. All right? And then it goes on. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. And I will explain this here in a second. But in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Say, well, Paul, why did you have to write those things in such a hard manner? Well, let me take a moment and explain it. Whenever he says that it was weak in the flesh, that the law was weak in the flesh, how many of you have ever tried to break a habit that you knew was not a good habit? Typically, how successful are you in breaking that habit by yourself? Anybody ever here smoked? You don't have to raise your hand. Anybody ever tried to stop smoking on your own? That smoked. All right? I know of a few people that have tried. I think I know quite a few, in fact. I think I know of two that successfully did it without God. Through the flesh. The law was weak in the flesh. We try to break things in the flesh without God and it doesn't work. Because we're weak in the flesh. That's what I'm trying to get across here today. And the whole point of tonight is that the flesh has got to die. If it doesn't die, we're sunk. We aren't going to make it. But if we'll die to the Spirit, and I don't mean just once a week. I don't mean just at Thursday night and Sunday morning. I mean every single day. You've got to find your way to a place that you call your altar. And I want to hit this right now because I may not get to it again. And this is the whole point of what I'm teaching tonight. You've got to find your way to that place that you call your altar. And it's not just, like I said, once or twice a week. It's an everyday occurrence because your flesh every day is going to want and desire what it wants. And the only way to battle that is taking it back to the altar of where you went the very first time. And say, flesh, you're dying again today. As Paul said, I die daily. My carnal nature, my fleshly desires, all the things that I want to do, I'm taking it back to the altar and I'm making sure that the mindset that I had when I first repented and said, God, I'm following you. I'm going after you. I'm following your word. It's going back to the altar one more time and I'm plunging the knife in it again. And I'm putting on the new nature, that nature called Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to get through all of it tonight. But as we go through, if we get to that, one of the places in Romans and then in Corinthians, in several places where Paul talks, he talks about putting off the old and putting on the new. It's not an assimilation. Oh. I should take the notes and go like that. And not an assimilation. What I mean by that, you cannot take your old nature and assimilate it into the new nature of having the mind of Christ. It doesn't work that way. That's what I started talking about at the very beginning. The old nature has to completely die. You cannot walk the line of having your fleshly desires fulfilled and still come to church and have the Spirit of God touch you and have the benefits of that. That's the whole point of tonight. You've got to put on the new nature, but to do that, you have got to kill and put off the old. That's the only way it works. I think all too often, because of, if I can call it, secular Christianity, and I don't mean it in a bad form, it's just how we've been taught in the denominational world, if I can put it that way and not sound bad, is that, oh, come as you are, do whatever you want, leave as you are, and you're absolved, and you just live however you want, and God, you're fine. Well, I know it's tight, but that's how we've tried to live it. That's how we've tried to bring the church world into it and say, oh, well, I can live however I want as long as I go to church once a week. And, you know, I tell the preacher this and that, and I go away and I'm fine. Well, you may have appeased your conscience, but by the word of God's standards, you're not fine. And that's what I want to combat tonight. You don't have to live under condemnation, but you do have to kill that old nature, or it's just going to rise back up and you're going to be in the same boat that you were before. It's got to die. And so that law was weak in the flesh, and so God sent a body. He created a body that the Spirit of God could live in. All right, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And yes, I'm going to take a moment because I do want to cover that sinful flesh. Do I believe that the body of Jesus Christ could have sinned? Absolutely do. What would be the point of him having temptation if he couldn't sin? And then what hope do I have if he really couldn't sin? How am I ever going to live like that? There's no hope. I might as well not even try. But if I have the same spirit that resided in that body, and I can have it, and I do have it, and you can have it, and many of you do have it, then you can live above sin. Oh. I said you can live above sin. Oh. I felt I hit a brick wall there. Yes, you can live above sin. Hallelujah. Woo-wee. My God. I'm walking a tightrope tonight. You can live above sin, though. The devil doesn't want you to believe that you can, but you can. And so, yes, that body of Jesus Christ, the spirit that resided in that, could not sin. But the body itself could. It had a nature to sin. Did it? Absolutely not. It conquered it. How? By continuing to have the Spirit live in it. That's why you find places in the Word of God where it says Jesus went off to be alone. And then what does it say when he was alone? He prayed. And I know this is simple tonight, but I want to help somebody know that you can overcome. You can be an overcomer. You can live victoriously in Jesus Christ. Is it work? Yep. Is it worth it? Absolutely. Because I can go to bed at night and know that I don't have to worry. I can have peace of mind. I can rest really nicely at night. Have I not been where I needed to be? Absolutely. It was a nightmare going to bed at night, literally. Don't come back tonight, Jesus. Everybody's going to laugh because everybody's had that fear. It's not a fun place. And so that body had a nature to sin, but it condemned sin. How? By finding those places to pray. And the same thing that you're going to have to do every day. That's why I said, every day you've got to find that altar and you've got to kill that flesh through prayer, through the Word of God, through being obedient and submitted to the man of God. If we don't do that, then we're going to have a propensity to go back to the lifestyle we were in before. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I lost my place. But ye are not in the flesh. When you're walking after the Spirit, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And so if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. So if you don't have the Holy Ghost, then you're walking after the flesh. If you have the Holy Ghost, you're walking in the Spirit. The only way to walk after the Spirit is to make sure you continue to be full of the Holy Ghost. Not now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And this is, again, where I talked at the very beginning. If we don't have the Holy Ghost, if we're not full of it, then we're not a part of Jesus Christ. That's why I said we can't have it both ways. We can't have the flesh and take in those desires of the flesh and then say, yeah, I'm part of the kingdom of God too. It doesn't work that way. We cannot live the sinful lifestyle that we were living before, partake of that, and then still be a part of the kingdom of God and say, you know what? Yep, I'm a child of God. The other day, I had to go to a funeral, and it was very difficult. I mentioned it on that Sunday, I think. We had went and visited a lady on a Saturday. Sunday morning, we got a phone call. She had passed away. There's a couple things I remember. One of the last things I remember her telling us, and I wish to God I would have just done it then, but was, you know, I really like chocolate chip cookies. And I thought, well, you know, we have, even though God had spoke to me, that's the crazy thing. I should have listened to God. By the way, I sometimes don't in the way I should. He had talked to me and said, she's not going to be with us much longer. I didn't realize that his much longer was meaning the next day she'd be dead. And so she had mentioned that, and I thought, man, my wife and I need to go home and this week make some cookies and we can bring them back. Well, I should have just went to Walmart and bought a package of chocolate chip cookies and brought them that day. And my wife even mentioned, she's like, I thought about going. I said, man, I did too. And we didn't. But the other thing that I will say was that as we're leaving and she's out there, very many health problems, and she's taking in her nicotine. I'll say it that way. And that was that. This last week, a week ago, on Thursday afternoon, we had to go. My wife and I went to the funeral. And, you know, it was rough sitting there. Hearing that man say that she had made it. And as I'm sitting there thinking, my God, you've put her in a place, really, that only God can judge that, number one. But number two, the lifestyle doesn't match the Word of God. we're fulfilling the lust of the flesh and yet still having the promise of the benefits of what God's saying. It doesn't work that way. The Word of God tells us that. How can that man who's supposed to be a pastor deceive all of the people that were at that funeral? And that's how I feel about it. It's not that I feel mean or bad. I honestly want to eventually talk to that man and say, how can you, as what you say as a man of God, and you've went and visited her, because he mentioned that, and know what she's done at that time, how can you as that man, knowing kind of her life, say that she made it to the other side and be comfortable with that? And then all your people that were there, congregants or whoever, are believing that they can live that same way and make it. You're deceiving them. It's not fair to them. It's not fair. Because the Word of God tells us differently. So if we're truly living off of the Word of God and we believe that, then we're not being honest to the people. It saddened me a lot. It saddened me a lot. Because we've got the Word of God telling us one thing, and yet we have other men that want to sabotage some of that. That's not fair to people. I want the Spirit of God to dwell in me. Because if we don't have the Spirit of God, we're none of His. But it goes on to say, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. He's not saying everybody is going to die a physical death, but he's saying you're going to have a spiritual death and eternal damnation. That's a rough way to go. Ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, or basically put to death is what it's saying, the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. And I'm going to stop for a second right there. There was a point in time where everything that you did and how you lived was under the bondage of Satan and under fear. And that is part of what condemnation is. It's fear. Fear that I cannot live the way God wants me to live and make it to heaven. And tonight, I'm telling you, I've come against that in the name of Jesus, because it's a lie from the pit of hell. Because that's where Timothy, Paul's writing to Timothy at one point, and he says that God hath not given us the spirit of fear. So we're coming back to Romans here, and he said that he delivered you from that, and you have not been put under that bondage of fear. Timothy, he tells Timothy, you're not living under that. He hasn't given you that spirit. He's given you a victorious spirit. And then he says, after that, he says, you know, not a spirit of fear, but of power. Okay, why does he give you power? So that you can live the way he wants you to live. Of love. Because whenever you were living for the devil, though there might be a portion of you that was love, but there was a lot of you that, oh my, in hate. Oh my. Well, I know I'm hitting a lot of stuff tonight that it's a tight, tight night tonight. I get it. I'm fine with that. But I'm praying somebody's getting what I'm preaching tonight, teaching tonight, because God has not given you the spirit of fear, condemnation, but of power and of love and of a sound or complete restful mind is what that means. The other day, I'm trying to remember who it was. Well, I don't remember that one, but I do remember another time. Before Brother Anthony Starr passed, him and I were teaching a Bible study to a lady that was heavily hooked on drugs. Very angry. She had done several thousands of dollars worth of damage to an apartment one night. She got upset, high as a kite, busted stuff all up, got thrown in jail. It was a mess. It was a mess. And she called us, and we began to teach her a Bible study. And part of what we were teaching her was some of this right here. But one of the things that, one of the first lessons we do is called rest or Shavuot. It's the blessing, it's the rest that God wants to give. And that rest, by the way, is the Holy Ghost. And so we teach that first, because if you don't get that, there's none of the other stuff matters. But we teach about that. But I remember that day as we're teaching that, and the Spirit of God come in that room, and she began to weep. And I'll never forget, we begin to pray and talk her through, you know, hey, are you at a place where you feel like you want to repent? Absolutely. And so she began to pray and ask God to forgive her, and you could see the mindset change, okay, in that room. Before it was over, almost instantly, we were praying, and all of a sudden she looks up, said, oh my God, my mind. And we were looking at her like, what? It's clear. I don't hear any voices anymore. There's nothing. It's just quiet. It's quiet. I can actually think. It's quiet. She kept saying that. It's quiet. It's, you know what? It's God. It's not the spirit of fear. I'm telling you, whenever you submit to God, there is a quietness that will come over your spirit. It's hard to explain. If you've experienced it, you know. If you haven't, you need to experience it. Because it's rest. It's that rest. She found that rest. All of the things that had been plaguing her mind for I don't know how long. This woman was in her 50s. I don't know if she really had a life before that point. Now, was there some journeys and things that we had to deal with? Absolutely. We helped her through them. But she found a place of rest. And I'm telling you, that's where God wants you. But you have to be willing to die at an altar. You have to allow all those fleshly desires to die at the altar so that His Spirit can live. I'm almost done tonight. I've got a lot more I could go on. I could go on, but I feel like we're where we want to be. Again, He doesn't want you in that bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And so, reading through that language that we just had, that passage, it's abundantly clear in that passage that the way of the old man is dealt with through the Spirit. The old man has to go to the altar, it has to be killed, and the new man be made alive. There's many verses we could talk about. In Romans chapter 8, verse 2, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. In Romans 8, verse 9, he says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not that Spirit, he is none of his. And we could go on and on. There are those, unfortunately, who believe, there are quite a few, that believe the waters of baptism, all right, is just a public confession. And they really don't care what name it happens in. I'm telling you, the waters of baptism are not just a public confession. It's not just a public confession. And there are those who also believe that the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the infilling of the Holy Ghost is just an added blessing. I'm telling you, you have to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost if you're going to live above sin. It's not an option. It is a requirement. Acts chapter 2 makes that very clear. Whenever you read through that chapter, there's a reason why the people that were pricked or convicted by Peter's preaching, and they would come to Peter and say, "Hey, Peter, how do we rectify? How do we fix this problem?" This is how. And Peter would tell them, "You've got to repent." What is the repentance? It's the taking to the altar the old man, changing the mindset, and saying, "All that's got to die." Then if you only have something that's dead but you don't bury it, it starts to stink. We've got to bury it. And that's why the other night, 35 different people got baptized in the name of Jesus. Why? We're burying it, man. We're burying it. I don't want it all stinking and coming back up. I want it buried, Brother Ben. And then we've got to have the power. The power is the dunamis, the Holy Ghost. If we don't have that, then we're going to fail again. We're going to fail again. I love how in Colossians chapter 2, Paul would state it like this: "And ye are complete." You're full. You're whole. In him. Who's he talking about? In who? In Jesus. "Which is the head of all principality and power. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off." Okay. This is the key word here. I've been talking about it. Putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So you've got to put it off. You've got to, if you would, it's like taking it off. I've got to take it off and put it aside. I can't just put another layer on top of it. It's got to be put away, killed, and buried. And then he goes on, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." Who is he talking about? Jesus Christ. He was the power of God, the Spirit of God, raised that body back up. And guess what? The same Spirit that raised that body is also going to raise mine. Oh, that same Spirit that raised that body from the dead is also going to raise mine and yours. If we live after the Spirit, that's how we're getting to heaven. That's that Spirit that's going to raise this body out of this old earth. Oh, Jesus. Come to the music so they have hope. Hallelujah. So that circumcision, that cutting off or putting away, made without hands, is evidenced in putting off the body of the sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And it entails that baptism. You say, how do you know that baptism works? How do you know? Hebrews 4:10, "For he that is entered into his rest," the rest of Jesus, "he also has ceased from his own works." Talking about the works of the flesh, you're going to cease from doing those as God did from his. What is he talking about? Well, there was a point when in Genesis where he rested, he ceased from work. And there's got to be a point where you say, all right, I'm done living my life the way I want. I've got to put it away. I've got to kill it. And when you do that, then it's now God taking over. And it's got to be you saying every day, God, I'm going to live after the Spirit. Not after what I want, not after my desires, not after the things of the flesh, not what I want to do, where I want to go, where do I want to be. And this is where I talked about Pastor started it by saying, the Spirit of God. Everything we do in the name of Jesus. He already started my message for me because I already knew what I was preaching. And then it was just like, well, God confirmed it. Everything we do in Jesus' name. That means if you walk into a place, restaurant, there have been some I've walked into and I walked back out because I said, Jesus doesn't like this. I could feel it. He doesn't like this. How do you know? I could feel it. My spirit was grieved. I don't know how to explain all that to you. But if you listen to the Spirit of God, you get in tune with it. If you pray, you're going to feel that. That's called conviction. It's whenever those things hit you and you're like, ooh, I should not have said that. I should not have went there. I should not have done that. And if you'll be sensitive to that, God will allow you to feel that. And it will become easier to feel that too as you allow that to work. And so there have been times I walked into a place like, ooh, Jesus doesn't like that. And I just turned around and I made my way back out. There have been things that I have said. I can't take that back. But I knew Jesus didn't like that. I'm not going to say that again. There have been things that I have done. And I felt, man, Jesus didn't like that. I'm not going to do that again. Do you know there's things that I have worn? And I said, Jesus didn't like that. And I didn't wear it again. You say, man, Brother Smith, you're weird. No, I want to live after the Spirit. I want to be pleasing to God. I love Him. I want to do what He wants me to do. It's not just about Him telling me. He didn't say, Jacob, don't wear that. You shouldn't say that, Jacob. No, it was just, hey, amen. It was almost like I'm disappointed in you. And you know what? I don't want to disappoint Him. Disappointed. I want to walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. If we could all stand. As I finish up tonight, I know we've talked about it already. The old man really isn't dead until the Spirit fills you and you obey it as it reveals, identifies, and clears out all of the deeds of the flesh. Let me tell you something. I'm still working on clearing out some of the deeds of the flesh. There's still times that God hits me upside the head, if you would. Jacob, I didn't like that. Yes, I hear you, Lord. And you know how it all happens? I mentioned it earlier. It's through the Word of God, the man of God, and the Spirit of God. And they all three will coincide. They're not going to contradict. That's why I said, if you're reading the Word of God, there's times you're going to come to church and He's going to preach and like, oh, man, it's like He's in my thoughts. He is. Because He's listening to what God is telling Him to preach. He may not know what you did, but He's listening to God, and God's telling Him, I want you to preach that. Why? It doesn't matter why. You just preach it. Okay. Because there's somebody that needs to have that confirmed in their life. Woo. I want to be obedient to the Word of God. And I want His Spirit to reign freely. There is a lot more to this lesson tonight, but I feel like we got to where we wanted to be. That you can make it. You can live above sin. You can be victorious. Oh yeah, that you're going to have to die. Your fleshly deeds are going to have to die at an altar every day. But if you'll do that, I'm telling you, you can live the way God wants you to live. Does anybody have that in their heart tonight? Anybody want to do that tonight? Can we just love him for a moment? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I found it all.
I love you, Jesus.
When I lost everything.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I gave my life.
Oh, hallelujah.
To serve my